I told Eldon about this the other day. This happened several years ago. I said I got on an airplane coming from Houston to Dallas, and there was about a 50-year-old man dressed very nice sitting beside me by the window, and I had the center seat, and so I sat down there beside him, and he had a biology book all laid out there with all the beautiful pictures and cutaways of all the plants and seeds and all the stuff, you know. I thought, well, I bet he's not going to college. I bet he's a professor. So I thought, are you a professor at some university? He said, yes, I am. I said, where? He said, Denver, Colorado. I said, isn't it wonderful what God made there? He said, I don't believe God made that. I said, well, then where do you think that come from? He said, well, it came from a seed. I said, but where did the seed come from? He said, it evolved over millions of years. We talked for 45 minutes from Houston to Dallas. As we pulled in to the gate, I told him, I said, sir, the word of God has just confirmed itself one more time to me. He said, what? I said, the word of God says only a fool says in his heart there is no God. I said, I met one of them today. You're it. Anybody that can look at the magnificence of what it takes to make a plant grow and the thousands of different species of plants and to think all that just evolved, he's got to be a fool, just like the word of God says. God calls him a fool. Oh, and while we was talking about all this, I made a statement to Eldon and Nancy. Well, Cheryl and I, we were all sitting there having a little something together. And as we were talking about it, somebody said something about reproduction. And I said, yeah, that's just like I said, isn't it amazing how God made the man so that his sperm is regenerated every day? A man has new sperm in his body every day. And I said, but a woman's not like that. I said, a doctor told me years ago that when a woman is born, she's born with every egg she'll ever have in her body when she's born. Eldon said, surely that's not right, Thurman. I said, well, a doctor told me that. He said, well, I just can't believe that's true. So I looked it up when I got home. Every woman is born with about 1 to 2 million eggs in her two baskets, her ovaries, when she's born. Each ovary will have about 1 million eggs in each one, and they will lay right there, and nothing will happen to them till she comes to the cycles of her life, at usually 12 to 15 years of age. And at each cycle of every month, approximately 1,000 eggs will leave her ovary and come down, and only one will manifest into a real live egg, and they will do that. And if they're never fertilized by a man at that exact day that happens, she'll never have a child. Isn't that something? But by the time she's 48 to 55, those million eggs that was in each ovary are all completely gone and she won't ever have another one. Her body does not make new ones. I looked that up. I'd heard that. A doctor told me that. I didn't check him out. So when Eldon told me, he said, you know, Thurman, surely that's not true. I said, well, I don't know if it's true or not. You know, I was told that by a doctor. So when I got home, I went on the internet, looked it up. Man, there's all kinds of information about the reproductive portions of both male and female. And I had no idea that there was 1 million eggs in each ovary when she's born. Isn't that something? And her body never makes a new one. Yeah. Oh, that's supernatural, Tom. I mean, of course, Sarah and Abraham both knew she was way past, you know, her ability to have a child. And that's why whenever the Lord says, Abraham, your wife, Sarah, about this time next year, she'll have a baby. And Sarah, what did Sarah do? I'm 90 years old. She knew she hadn't been through an ovulation period in 50 years. See, I mean, a woman can tell when she's in ovulation. You know, but she knew she had not have been in an ovulation cycle for 50 years. And I past that stage 50 years ago. Does God not know that? Yeah, do you think he knew that? Yes, he knew that. But can he supernaturally change that? Oh, yeah, he can change it for anybody. I mean, there ain't nothing difficult for God. But we don't know who he is. That it is amazing, isn't it? How God made the man and the woman different. Just like that biology book with all those little seeds in there. He made those things to feed us, for us to look at the beauty of the flowers, the grass, all that. And all he wants us to do is love him and worship him. That's all he wants. And will we do that? No. Most people in the church won't even do that. I think about how gracious he had to be to me. I'm looking at Bill Smiler. He's thinking the same thing I'm thinking. All those years, he should have killed me and you way back yonder, shouldn't he, Bill? But he was merciful to us, wasn't he? Aren't you glad he's a merciful God? I'm glad he's a merciful God. Because if he hadn't have been, I know one old boy that would have died a long time ago. But we look at this plague that's going to fall on the earth, and instead of repenting and saying, God, we will serve you. What did they do to him? Can you imagine cursing God? No. But the Word of God says these people did that. They cursed him. Wow. And all he wants is to love them. Now, let's go to 2 Peter 1:10, and we'll start right there. 2 Peter 1:10. Now we're at the beginning of my message, and we got 15 minutes left. Wow! 2 Peter 1:10. So in the NLT, yeah. So dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. What does that mean, to work hard to prove you're a Christian? Does that mean go to church on Sunday? Oh, that's one thing. Is there something else? Oh, you got to love people all during the day, every day?
All day long.
Oh, so there's a lot of things you do to work hard to prove you're a Christian, huh?
Right.
You mean you got to be good to these little children every day, all day, every day?
Yeah.
You got to be good to your husband.
Yeah.
And not only but all the rest of the people out there, huh? Work hard. You know, it's easy to love somebody that's lovable, right? But, you know, sometimes you run into one of these guys or gals that ain't too easy to love, huh? Oh, yeah, you run into about there. I'm not talking about your wife. I will have to say, I have seen a few men and a few women that it was hard for them just to love their mate. Yeah, I have seen those kind of people. That was almost, and it's terrible. And obviously, when you see two Christians that are divorced, and both of them are Christians at the beginning, they didn't believe the scripture when it says forgive. You know how easy it is to get crossways with your mate? You know? I mean, isn't it easy? Sure. It's real easy. You know? And does people in the church do it all the time?
Yeah.
Some of you in here have been married and divorced. Some of you have been married and divorced several times. Can God forgive marriage, a divorced marriage? Or can he forgive murder? Yeah. So aren't we glad? You know? So some people say, hey, you can't never remarry once you get divorced. Well, there's all kinds of ways you can do that. God showed us how to do it. But does he want a marriage to ever end in divorce?
No.
No. That's why he says forgive one another, walk in love. So he says here, so dear brothers and sisters, work hard. Now that's something that when I tell you, if you come to work for me, you got to work hard. Well, maybe I could find another job. I was working with a man the other day, and we were doing something. He says, you know, I just don't like doing this. So I said, okay. So a few weeks later, we was working on something else together again. He said, you know, I don't like doing this. I said, you know what's wrong with you? He said, what? I said, you don't like to work. That's your problem. You don't like to work. And it offended him at first. I said, if it offends you, just wear it. You know? I said, you'll find out I'm not an easy guy. I said, I'm a guy that'll do anything. I'll work at anything, and anything God gives me, I don't care what I'm doing, I'm going to work hard at it. I remember one time, of course, I was the director of engineering for a large corporation, and one day I was out there on the dock, and somebody had put something in one of these big, huge compactors, and of course, the operation I worked for was a food operation. I was in charge of engineering for about 13 of these locations, but somebody, I happened to be at this one location, and a guy had thrown something in there that was on fire. And he put it in the dumpster, and then pushed the lever, and the fire went up inside. Now, everything that is dry in there is on fire inside the dumpster. And so we walked up, and I saw smoke boiling out of the front of this thing, and I told one of the guys there, I said, grab your hose right there and jump down. Now, of course, it's a slop down in the bottom. You know, I mean, it's mashed food. You know, it's not exactly what you want to walk around in, you know, but I said, grab that hose, jump off in there and go up there and put that fire out. He said, Mr. Scrivener, I am going to disobey that order. He said, that's one thing I will not do. I will not jump in that slop, put that fire out. He said, let it burn down. I walked over and grabbed the hose. I don't have a suit on, but I got slacks. I got low quarter shoes. I stepped right off in that stuff, walked up there, pulled that thing, and I put the fire out. When I got through putting the fire out, I put the hose down. I went back and I said, okay, let's go do something else. Never said another word to him. A few months later, I was back there at that operation. I asked him to do something. It was kind of a dirty job. He looked at me and he said, well, one thing I got to say, I'll do it for you. He said, because if I don't do it, I know you will. That's the way you got to run your life. You can never ask somebody to do something you're not willing to do yourself. That's the way you and I as Christians need to be. When God tells you and me to work hard at what you do, that means what it says. Don't be a sloppy Christian. You know, get out there and do something for Jesus. Oh, but it might take me out to West Texas where it's hot. Okay, if it takes you out to West Texas where it's hot, so it's hot. It can't be hot as hell, can it?
No.
I'll tell you, I got to tell you this story. They're not here today, but they was here last Sunday. But there was a lady here and her husband, and they came up for prayer. And she told me, she said, my mother-in-law I just couldn't get along with that woman. Said she got down sick, and my husband asked me to go over and take care of her. So she said, I went over there and took care of this woman for 2 weeks. She said, I did everything for her. I mean, everything. And she said, at the end of that 2 weeks, she was rubbing me wrong. She was not appreciating anything I had done. And she said, when I went out and got in my car, I was so mad at my mother-in-law. She said, from there down to the stoplight, I'm telling God, God, don't you ever ask me to come back over here again. I'm guaranteeing you're going to find somebody else to take care of my mother-in-law. But I ain't coming back. And I'm just not coming back. She said, I was so mad. And I got up to a stoplight. I stopped. And I went forward a little bit, and as soon as I sat back in the seat, I heard this voice say, would you like to see what it looks like inside the belly of a whale?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, If We Have Faith, Nothing is Impossible, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and post-paid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.